I'm really passionate about is raising awareness that this is a sport. It's an international sport. There's a world championships, there's a European championships, and when we do fly around the world and compete, you know. I've been playing pool myself for about 5 years, and only I really realised that wheelchair pool was a sport itself until last year. I've only been playing against other people in wheelchairs for a year. Taking the wheelchair side of it away is massive, especially in America. It's, you know, snooker isn't a thing in America. There's no American snooker players unless they live over here. And in America, you get like an American pool, and you get 9-ball pool, and you get Chinese 8-ball, and there's different rules, different balls, different size tables, and so, you know, there's a few different versions of the game that you can play.
So you said you only started 5 years ago, but how did you get involved, or what made you want to take it up?
My dad was a very keen pool player when he was in his late teens, so sort of like late 1980s, early 1990s, played for a team in Fulham with a bunch of mates, and I think it was more of an excuse to have a drink or whatnot, but he got pretty good at it himself. And he gave up for 30-odd years, and, you know, had a family, moved away from the area, and never touched the pool table again. And I was working alongside him for a startup company in London when I was about 21, 22, and they had a pool table in the break room. So lunch breaks, I would get on the pool table, I bought my own cue, I really got into the sport. So for me, it was about learning the game, learning the angles, how do I play the game. And for my dad, it was about sort of rejuvenating those skills that he once had. And when the company went into administration, we actually purchased the pool table from the company and had it put in our house. So for the last, you know, through COVID, that was a blessing, because me and my dad actually joined a team again alongside some of his old buddies from the late 1980s who still play. And that was what really got me into it, was actually competing. I was probably the only person, I definitely was the only person in a wheelchair in the entire London league, you know. So my chances of winning were slim, but I learned quite a lot. I had a good laugh of it. Just worked on my skills from there, really, until I realised that there was actually leagues for wheelchair pool and actual wheelchair pool players. And that's when I sort of branched out a bit more.
You were the only person in a wheelchair playing. Did you feel at a disadvantage?
There's some advantages and some disadvantages to it. I think like anything, really, I'm a lot lower down to the ground. So my eye line is more direct down the queue. So in terms of me trying to get that slight angle, I've probably got a better chance of being able to pull that off. But then there are, you know, disadvantages. Me having to reach over a ball, you know, if the ball is more in the middle of the table, I don't quite have that reach. And there are, you know, apparatus that have been created, you know, that allow us to, like a rest, for example, that they use in snooker and pool. Well, I've got a version of Amazon, cost me £12, which is telescopic, and I can make it short as long as I want it. And it means I can play what would be a difficult shot, you know, in a much easier way. So, yeah, it's I wouldn't necessarily say it's, you know, massively harder, but we do have our challenges. And obviously we use that to our advantage, you know. I would play a shot that I can't pull off against somebody who's also in a wheelchair, because they can't pull it off, and there's the tactics behind it, you know.
So how did you go from the next step to where you are now?
I guess in a way it was partly through luck, actually. I researched it a little bit. I knew that there were some wheelchair pool players, but a lot of them lived up north, you know, East Midlands and above. And there was, you know, competitions that went on, but again, it was sort of like 4 or 5 hours drive north. And I was like, you know, I ain't got the time. I'm a dad. I'm a single dad. I haven't got the time to be able to pull this off and, you know, work. I guess I wasn't that committed to the sport at that time. But I went and played my normal London league. And this was February 2022. One of the other players on the other team asked me if I played against other people in wheelchairs. And I said, no. I said, I've never come across a wheelchair pool player before. He said, I know about a tournament that's being played in about 3 weeks' time, about an hour away. I can get you in if you want to get in. And so he put my name down. He got me in contact with this guy who was hosting the tournament, and I went to it, and I ended up coming third in the entire tournament. So meeting other wheelchair pool players, it wasn't just strictly wheelchair, it was mixed disability, which isn't what you normally find on the international circuit, it's wheelchairs only. But there was one of the other players on there who was an England player, and he was at that tournament. So he got me in with the head of the England team, and I joined a WhatsApp group with all the other players, and they invited me down to my first national tournament about 3 weeks after that, which I ended up winning. So it was one of these moments where it was like, do you know what? In comparison to somebody who's three times my age and been playing my entire life, I can beat these people and very much hold my own. But when I was starting out, I guess my skills weren't that great, and I needed to learn a lot about the game. When I came to competing against other people in wheelchairs, I realised actually where I was at with the sport was pretty on par with me sort of being in the top 15 in the UK. So, like a lot of things, you know, the level in which we are able to achieve will be less than somebody who is able-bodied. You know, there's a reason why the 100 meter world record for somebody who can walk like Usain Bolt is like 9 seconds or whatever it is, whereas for somebody who's got two metal legs, the fastest they can pull off is 10.5 seconds, and that's still a world record in its own right. So what we can put off and what we can achieve may be less than that of somebody who can walk, but I'm a firm believer that enough skill, enough practice, we can take these people on and beat them ourselves.
And is it expensive? Sport in general, getting kids especially into sport, can, especially if they want to take it professionally, can be really expensive.
Yeah, it's definitely, it is quite an expensive sport. I don't think people realise. I think people just sort of think, right, you need a cue and you need the balls and you need, you know, some chalk, and you can get all that for max sort of 70 quid if you wanted to get a cue for 60, and chalk's about a fiver on Amazon. So it's, but it's not, you know. The chalk that I use is a high-grade chalk designed for me to pull off different shots, and it costs about £17 per cube. So it's £97 shipped in from Finland for a box of nine. You know, my cue that I use is a specific weight, it's a specific length, the tip size is a specific size. And, you know, and that can cost you anywhere between sort of 150, and if you really, really wanted to push the boat out, up to £1,000 for a cue.
And how much chalk are you going through maybe a month?
I'm actually surprised. This stuff's holding out. I've been using one piece for about 6 months now. And so it's that's a cost that's going to last me for quite a long time. And again, the cue itself, you know, I shouldn't need a new cue for years and years down the line. I know people that are still using cues that they were using in the 90s. You know what I mean? So once you get yourself a good cue and you put that work, you put your money into it, it's almost like an investment. It should last you a long time. But in terms of, you know, adding up everything, I'm in the process right now of trying to obtain sponsorship for 2023, because I've worked out roughly it's going to cost me in the region of around £5,000. And that's hotels, that's fuel, that's, you know, me creating kit for the sponsors, so I actually wear their logo at these tournaments. That's me actually paying for social media so that I'm able to promote them. I pay for promotion on certain social media sites, so I'm actually putting figures through, numbers through for them. I've got a fairly good social media because I've been an actor for the last 10, 15 years as well, so I've had a good following from that. So I'm able to combine the two and really actually help promote local companies and businesses and generate some numbers for them. But it does get expensive for that reason.
And do you think that sponsorship is the way forward? Because you just listed off your costs, and of course travel is a big cost as well. So for people in the sport, do you think they are having to rely on that sponsorship?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know a single pool player who's at an international level who isn't sponsored. You know, and it could just be sort of Dave's Garage, do you know what I mean, down the road, and they purse over £500 a year, you know, and, you know, you have four or five sponsors that sort of covers you for £2,500. And there are people who, you know, are spending a good £1,000 to £1,500 a year of their own savings on being able to compete and travelling. The sport isn't recognised enough that we end up having sponsors for the entire team, you know what I mean? And that would be the ultimate aim here, is that, you know, the sport gets recognised enough that, you know, one company will come along and say, you know, here's £25,000 for you to put into the sport. And then that money would change lives. It really would, because you'd have, for someone like me, this is my life. This is what I want to do for a living one day. I want to play pool for a living. You know, and to what capacity, I don't know. I want to play until I'm a world champion, and I want to continue to be a world champion. But there's not enough prize money, you know what I mean? At a push, you're making a few hundred pounds for coming first. So there's no way you can make a living from that as it is.
Are you able to go into schools and talk to kids about perhaps playing pool? And how do we get the next generation involved so that they don't have to struggle as much as you've had to?
I think, you know, one of the biggest things that we could do for the next generation, because there's going to be millions of kids that won't know about this being a sport all across the world. And the biggest thing that we can do for the sport is get it publicised to the point where pool and snooker is ordinarily, because you can turn on BBC One and watch the World Snooker Championships, but our World Championships will be in a dingy little hall with 15 tables and no one knows about it. And we're getting to the point where we are live streaming, and we went to the World Championships, it was live on French TV, but that's for the people who are number one and number two in the world. They haven't got enough time for everybody to have their moment. So I feel like if we were able to get recognition for the sport to the point where we, you know, kids were turning the TV on and watching other people in wheelchairs play, that would then have them go, oh, I want to play pool, you know, I want to play snooker, and that would entice them to go out and buy their own cue or ask their parents for a snooker cue for their birthday. You know, I remember being 2005, I was 9 years old, and I watched the London Marathon, and I saw the people in the wheelchairs racing around the London Marathon, and that got me into the sport, and I was an athlete for 7 years. I ended up competing for Team GB in wheelchair racing and travelled the world with that as well. So that was my moment of you know, that sport was recognised to the point where there was sponsorships, there was, you know, funding, people were making a living from being an athlete.
But it wasn't always the way, I guess, until we really saw it at the Olympics.
Exactly. 2012 was a huge, huge moment for the sport in general and for sort of disability sports in general, but basketball, rugby, even sort of sports that other people don't really know about, like boccia and wheelchair football, you know, that's a sport. So, like, you know, it needs its moment. It needs to get into the Paralympics. It needs to have its airtime. It needs to get recognised. And, you know, I feel like as well, a lot of the players, you know, I'm quite young for somebody who's playing wheelchair pool, at least in England. I met the French team at the World Championships, and they're a bunch of great guys. I know there's two wheelchair pool players from Australia. There's players from all over the world. We just don't know that they're there. You know what I mean? They're playing the local pub and they're better than us, but they've never branched out of their own local region, you know, because they don't know it exists. So I feel like if we can get the recognition the sport deserves, I will single-handedly take on the world in promoting this as a sport and get, you know, the next generation on board. I just can't do it on my own. I need the help. And
hopefully this will raise a little bit of awareness for you. And if someone wants to either get into the sport or if they want to sponsor you, how can they contact you?
I can be contacted via email. If somebody has any questions, queries about the sport, where they can compete locally, I know sort of the local area, the best places for people to be able to go and practice or purchase their first cue, because I think that could be quite confusing, as they don't have to go and buy a £500 one to begin with. You know, they're very happy with a £50 one, and I can direct them in the right way. If they're looking to sponsor me, again, social media, I'm always on social media, so my Instagram is at Jack Binstead. My email address I can provide through social media as well. You know, any and all sponsorship, any businesses that want to come on board, I'm happy to draw a contract for them so that we can highlight what I can do for you and what you can do for me, and, you know, go through the official channels.